every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Father, my God, we just thank you. Adonai, we praise you. King of kings, we worship you. Son of God, you are so good. We thank you, Father and my God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're yet to do. We thank you, Father and my God, that indeed you are doing new things in our lives and in this season. Father, my God, we are grateful. We are grateful. We are so grateful. Father, my God, you are using the season to stretch us beyond ourselves because you are doing something new. Lord Jesus, will not limit you according to our ability and our strength, but Lord, we ask that you would have your way. Father, my God, help us to hold on in faith, believing you, Father, my God. Hold on in faith, believing that you are doing everything by yourself. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We thank you for all those traveling to and fro. Lord, we thank you for traveling mercies. We thank you, Father, my God, for those, O Lord, that are waiting on you. Father, my God, we ask that you grace them. Father, my God, grace them because, Lord Jesus, there is a grace required in waiting. Waiting for the physical manifestation of the word. Father, my God, I ask that you will grace them. Those, Father, my God, that are working out at in the last stages of a season, Father, my God, grace them to walk through the stage, Father, my God, as you prepare them for the next stage. Lord Jesus, regardless of where we are in our journey, help us, O Lord. Help us, Father, my God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the program. We're grateful for what God has been doing in this season. We're grateful for everything that he's taking us through to take us where he's taking us to. And excuse me, I'm gonna thank you for all of you that came to the seminar. It was such a blessing. It's really such a blessing, and we're grateful to God for your attendance. We're grateful to God for your contribution. We're grateful to God for all that you're doing. Just grateful to God. For those of you that didn't manage to attend, we're going to be having another one in March. So I encourage you to attend. We have to do something different to get a different result. Sometimes we keep doing the same things and we're having an expectation of something different. But I want to encourage you to just do something different. Just step out and do something different. Because sometimes we have, you know, a belief regarding something, and it limits what we can get and receive. It limits, you know. I'm thinking back of things that have, where God has moved in such a miraculous way, where I had to do something completely different. I'm reminded right now of when I met Pastor, that there was so much against me not attending a certain particular conference. There was so much against me. I even felt ill that day, and it would have made logical sense for me not to attend, but there was something on the inside of me that was just so determined to attend that it made a difference. I didn't know that was a pivotal point in my life. I didn't know that was a pivotal point in my journey. I didn't know. It seemed like a small act, you know. So that's why I'm encouraging us to do something different. Starbright started as a relationship seminar and marriage counseling, single counseling, and we had groups and sessions. And even though it may look like it's not a marriage seminar, but we do topics, and we are, you know, the bride of Christ, and we've got to, whatever our relationship is like, it has to be a reflection of our relationship with Christ. So as we grow in that relationship with Christ, as we treat our spouse, you know, we should treat our spouse as we would treat Christ. You know, it says in Ephesians about that a lot. It relates a marriage to our relationship with Christ. So I want to encourage that, you know, there's certain things that we need to grow in our understanding of Christ so that it reflects outwards. If we are struggling to communicate with Christ, it's going to be, you know, hard to communicate with your spouse, because if you say, well, your spouse you can see and Jesus you can't see, but that is how your marriage is related as to Christ. But that's not the topic for today, but we're going to be looking into that, you know, because communication is really, really important in a relationship. For the seminar, we looked at name, the power of the name, and I had a set of notes that I hadn't disclosed or discussed. To tell the honest truth, Holy Spirit is going to remind me, because it seems to be off the gadget that it was on, but that's okay. But we're going to be looking at some the power in the name, but also in our name. And I want you to go, if you came to the seminar, some of these things might sound familiar, but some of these things, if you didn't come, will be completely new to you, maybe. You know, there are many names for the Lord. And I want us to look at the names that we use ourselves. Jehovah Jireh, we know that, God Provider. But what is, you know, when we use that, what are we referring to as the provider? Some people think of financial provision. That is, so when they're looking at the God as provider, they're looking at financial provision. But it's not only finances. I want us to look at, what is it that you need? And see if, right, are we using the right name? Are we referring to God in the right way? Because God is our all in all. He is our all in all. And if we look at that, we can then think of, right, if God is our all in all, am I using every name appropriately? Am I expanding my knowledge of the names of God? Am I, you know, sometimes people get, they do a course and they'll be called doctor, you know, they'll professorship, doctor. That shows that a level of knowledge. But what names? I want you to write down the names of the Lord that you know. Write them down. Write them down. Because every name is associated with something that we've experienced. There's no name that is associated, excuse me, just randomly. Every name is associated with a situation, a circumstance, something that the person has gone through in the scriptures. So, you know, we have Jehovah, and that is the Lord, and it's in Exodus 6, 2-3, and it refers to being the Lord. So we're going to have a look, because we want to have a look at all these things, because sometimes I just think we know some things, but how deeply do we know it? You know, so Exodus 6, 2-3. Exodus 6, 2-3. So I'm going to start from 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of the country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, the Lord, did not, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I am the Lord." So when we refer to someone, some people say Yahweh, Jehovah, is the Lord. So it's the Lord that identified himself to Moses. Now, Jehovah Nissi, many of us use the banner, and that's Exodus 17, 15. Exodus 17, 15. Then the Lord said to, I'm going to start from 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." So the Lord, Moses built the altar and called the altar, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord, and the Lord will be at war against Amalek for generation to generation." So the hand, "The Lord is my banner." Because the hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord, and the Lord will be at war. Okay. And Jehovah Jireh, "The Lord will provide." Genesis 2:14. Genesis 2:14. Let me just check, make sure. Okay. Let me have a look. We have a lot of reasons. We have a lot of reasons why, you know, we use these names. And I want us to, they didn't use a name just because it felt like a good idea. You know, it was for a reason. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. All of these names have a specific, now there's one that you know, when you said mighty in battle, you know, the Lord is mighty in battle, the Lord is the king, strong and mighty, the Lord who saves, all of these have specific, it's to identify who God is in that situation, who he was in that situation. You know, El Elohim, God Most High. So when that name is spoken, it brings about that situation, you know, that miraculous situation into being. Now, I mention all these because we're going to be looking at, we looked at some of the names of God here. And I want us to, it also impacts us. Because sometimes we can have a name that has an impact. Now, Hagar, in Genesis, came about because, you know, Sarai felt it was a good idea. You know, if we go to Genesis 16, it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no child, but she had an Egyptian slave called Hagar. You know, when I, well, there was a time I was reading this and I thought, Egyptian wife, I feel that that was quite poignant, because at a certain point they ran and escaped to Egypt. So there seems to be quite a lot of things intertwined there. And even the Lord would escape to Egypt, and yet Hagar was Egyptian. Of all the country, all the places, was Egyptian. Anyway, the Lord, no, verse 2, so she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Now, she said, the Lord has kept me from having children. That's quite poignant. It shows of a level of pain that she felt. A level of, I've waited, you know, because it says that Abram was 75 when the Lord called him to go. And they'd been journeying for a long time. And he would have come and said, God has promised us, God has promised us, God has promised us. And so, excuse me, she got to a point where she's saying, the Lord has kept me from having children. And it, culturally, it was acceptable that the slave, the servant, if they had children, those children would belong for the master. They'll belong. They'll be the master's child. It'll be like it's hers. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Okay. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. They'd been living in Canaan for 10 years. So they had, you could say, almost practically settled there. And I say practically because he still would have journeyed. Now she became pregnant. Now it came to a point in verse 7. It says the angel of the Lord found, verse 6, your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do whatever you think best. So then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled. This is the first time she fled. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that was beside the road. Hagar, and he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from? And where are you going? Where have you come from? Where you come? Because there's a lot of things that, you know, we'll see in the scriptures a lot. You know, Jesus asking the blind, what would you like me to do? Because there's something powerful in what is said. And that's why, you know, that a name is very powerful, because it's something that is said. It declares, it sets a scene, it sets an atmosphere. And it says, then the I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord said, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. Okay, so she gave pregnant, she gave birth, rather, to Ishmael. And this son grew. Now, Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. He set off at 75. Okay, he's now 86. They said it's about 75. Now 86. 11 years of waiting. I tell you, sometimes I'm not even sure if I'm not going to call anybody's names. I'm not even sure if I'm going to wait 11 minutes sometimes. You know, when I'm in a traffic light, I say, come on, what's going on here? And this is 11 years. You start thinking, if you have to wait about 11 minutes at traffic light, you're there thinking that the traffic lights are faulty. Let's be honest. You have to wait 11 minutes in a queue at the supermarket. Some of you will be put into another queue, or you might drop the stuff and move on. And that's 11 minutes. Imagine 11 years waiting for a promise. Believing. Now that's why it's important for us to realize these things. It's important. Okay. So, the next chapter, Genesis. It says, when Abram was 99, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I'll make a covenant between you and me and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. So he's been living there as a foreigner, living there as a stranger, an outsider, and his name was changed to declare a new season. His name was changed to denote something new. His name was changed to let everyone know the importance of what was to come. Because, it talks about what the meaning. Now, I'm going to go into that because, we need to know why was it so important? Why was it? Because it's only a few extra letters. Now, Abram, as you know, is Hebrew origin, and it means exalted father or father or high father. Okay, so it said about father, so we can think, right, that's Abram. Abram is saying a lot. Exalted father, high father, or the father is exalted. So he's talking about someone's elevation. So every time his name was called, High Father, you can call it, Exalted Father, was that was the name. That's what it meant. So it denoted something about things. It denoted. Now, in as we've read in Genesis 17, there's a significance in adding those few letters because it promises a multitude. Remember, the father of many nations. And it's a signify there was like it, because it was a divine covenant. The Lord said, I'll make a covenant with you, father of many nations. So it's talking about a multitude coming. It's talking about something different. You know, it's giving, you know, we had High Father. This one is talking of Father. Exalted Father. This one is talking about nations. So every time his new name was called, you know, it's talking about reminding him of the covenant, of the promise. You are a father of multitudes, though you've not seen the one that was promised. Okay? Not seeing the one that was promised, but it was declared every time that it was his name, new name was called Abraham, that Abraham, you are the father of multitudes, you are the father of nations. So can you imagine that after being called High Father, it was then to represent Abraham represented a change in positioning. It represented something new had happened. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, many times when a woman gets married, the name is changed to the husband's surname. And it signifies to everyone there's a different positioning. There's the person is now married, there's a different, you know, even if you've not seen the missus, you think, oh, this person was this surname and now they're this. Well, okay, they must have gotten married, they must have something's different, something has changed. You know, when the worship leader was born, we couldn't think of a name. The worship leader was called Junior for quite a few days. What's the baby's name? Junior. We thought, we hadn't decided yet on the name. Junior. And traditionally we had on the eighth day. So a pastor and I knelt to the bed, prayed and said, right, what name do you want? What name do you want? What name? And that was a name. And we asked the mums, what name, what name? And we put all the names. But it was prayer and this is the name. This is the name. And it declared what had happened. So the names declare what happened, what's going to happen, and in what happened through the pregnancy, what happened in the birth, and what's to happen. It declared. And Abraham to Abraham declares the promise of God. It declares that there's something more to come. It declares that, yes, this person is High Father, but now I'm saying this father is going to be of many nations, of multitudes. Now, it was also to let Abraham know that your situation is now changed. Now let's look at Sarai, because in the other chapter it talks about Sarai changing. Now Sarai, as you know, is a Hebrew name, but it means princess, lady, noble woman. So that's quite nice, something prestigious. Okay. It symbolized, you know, if someone's called princess, in some cultures they put something before the person's name. You find that to represent that maybe a nobility line they came from, or to represent a family, an area they've come from. So Sarai probably represented maybe a lineage that she'd come from, or the importance of her to the family, you know. And that, wow, because when you think noble woman, you're just thinking that's very someone that had maybe a standing in the culture, or in a certain family, or was really considered very precious. Now her name was changed to Sarah. Okay. It was changed to Sarah. And that was, you know, to signify a broader role as a mother to many nations. So not only aspects of it is princess, but instead of my princess, but the princess, the one that is going to, you could say, start a new nation, the one that's going to start something great. So all the names, it signifies something new. And it's very important that what we're declaring, what is being said over us, is declaring something about not only maybe our past, but and more importantly, what is to come. And sometimes you can get so bogged down with everything that you forget. You kind of forget what is being said over you. If you keep thinking of yourself as useless, rubbish, not, or you have a name that someone says, you know, sometimes people call some people a pet name, but they say, oh, you know, or say, you're just so daft. You're really daft. You're just so daft. Really daft. And they say, oh, I'm just, it's not real. It's just like, I'm just not, it's not real. They're not really daft, but they are daft. They say, they do the daftest things. They say the daftest things. Oh, they're very daft. That becomes, it has weight. So why would we be so surprised when they start doing daft things? You know, it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And let's not agree with some of these things. You know, let's not agree. Now it says in Genesis 17:15, God also said to Abram, as for Sarai your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name is Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give her you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be a mother of nations. So one was father of nations, mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down and laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Then Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. So Abraham tried to think that, look, I'm a bit too old for all this. And Sarah at 90, gonna have a child. Come on, Lord, let it be that Ishmael, you know, compromise, fall under this. Because many times people remember that Sarah laughed, but Abraham laughed too. And many times some things we hear that God declaring, it just seems impossible. Now, some of you might be believing God for a child, and you've heard a lot of things about the medical evidence, and you said it over yourself, you know, subconsciously otherwise, and you have believed that. But why don't we believe that the God of impossible is able? Your name might be declaring something, so you're agreeing with your name. Ask the Lord for a new name that will declare your future, your destiny, what's going to happen. His promises are yea and amen. What he says he will do, he will do. You know, there's some things that you can believe that it's a bit too much, it's a bit overwhelming, is a bit this. All you can choose to believe, God, give me the grace I need this day, because I am going forward. We have to. Abraham is a poster person for I am going forward. Though everything that has been said, you know, I'll tell you the honest truth, I won't blame Abraham when he heard the word of the Lord and said, no, mistaken identity, I'm not going. At 75, start trekking. Come on, please. They're human beings. No, I'm going to settle down, perch up here. I've got all my family and friends. I know my way around. Lot is like my child, but not. We can get this sorted. Next person. But he stepped out in faith. And every time he had a wobble, he went to the Lord. He drew to the Lord. And sometimes the Lord was showing the stars to declare. And then God got to the point, he said, no, your name. And that's why I said we need to look at the importance of the names of God. The names of God are not there just randomly. Elohim. They're not there because of something that happened. And when we're calling upon that name, we need to look at what was it that happened, that name came about. What was it that happened? And tap into, if that is relevant, tap into that. Let that, you know, the God that sees, the God that hears, the God that makes a way, tap into it and draw that into your present circumstance. The God that will change my name, the God will remind me of my name, so that when every time someone calls your name, you know, if your name is Oluwadurotimi, that declares something. So, and sometimes you might have shortened it because, you know, modern times and, you know, trendy. And, you know, some people can't say the name. Don't worry. I feel that pain many times. Just in the sideline, someone sent me an email. I sent them an email. I typed my name at the bottom. Dear Darren Kua, was like, it was painful. I wasn't even sure if the email was for me. I was a bit suspect. And it was a general inbox until one of my colleagues said, wow, we should just have a poll of all the different ways your name is spelled. You know, I was referred to as Derek sometimes because people couldn't just say the whole name. So they just said it's Derek, Doris, Dinka. So many different versions of my name. So I have to remind myself of the fullness of my name and what it declares. So if your name is like Oluwa Durotimi, and then you've changed it to Timmy, you know, the producer here is kind of laughing. Timmy, because he can relate. He can relate. And then you there think, oh, I'm Timmy. Then things start happening. Timmy, let's not even look at what the meaning of Timmy is. I'm not even sure. But, you know, in fact, let me look. Because sometimes you might now, some of you might think, oh, no, don't even. Timmy meaning, you know, because it's very good to know what these. Well, Timmy's not so bad, you know. Praise the Lord. Honoring God. Okay, reverence. That's not so bad. But, you know, it's not the meaning of Oluwa Durotimi. I'm just going to put it out there, you know. Just going to put it out there for those of you that know. It's not, honoring God is good, but it's not the meaning of the name. And it declares what happened. It declares something over you. So, I can't stress this enough. Pastor's always saying, know who you are and whose you are. Your name declares who you are and whose you are. Know it. Know it. Embrace it. Recite it to yourself. I'm sure Abram had to say, I am Abraham. I am Abraham. That has passed, is gone. I am Abraham, father of nations. Sarai probably had to correct people. No, I'm Sarah now. What? Oh, it's close. No, I'm Sarah now. A mother of nations. A mother of nations. I'm mother of nations. That's my name now. Mother of nations. Oh, some people have told her, we can't even see mother of one. You're talking of nations. Because you know there's always going to be someone who say that. You know I'm not lying. So, producers remind me we've got 5 minutes, you know. But it is really so important, because we need to, as we push forward, we need to actually, the words that we hear help set where we're going. It does. It's so important. And it helps set our atmosphere around us. Now, next week, we're going to be looking at aspects of love. And I want you to, I know some of you say, but we're doing that thing in February that we normally do. Yeah, but we're going to be looking at the aspects of love. Because for God so loved the world, he gave. So I want you to even stop at that, he gave. And he says he gave his only son. So what is it that you can give your significant other that might be only something really special, that maybe your time, maybe your headspace, maybe your availability, maybe some one-to-one time, because the world is so busy that we forget to give. We want to get, but we forget to give. Now, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank you all for facing the Lord. And I want to encourage you to continue to face the Lord in this season. And I specifically say face the Lord because there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise in the atmosphere. A lot. And I want you to thank God for, and count your blessings and name them out loud, so that, as the song says, it will remind you what the Lord has done. Because there's a lot of noise that's distracting us and telling us all the things that are not there. And you can name all those things, but it's not encouraging. So if you start naming all the things the Lord has done, it will encourage you to keep pressing forward to all the things to come. Until next week, have a blessed and glorious and wonderful week. And bye for now. It's my desire.
To be born, help me, Lord, to live how I ought to live.
Oh. to be all is all.
Let me